So our confession of faith, the truth that we've been brought into, this living water that defines us these days and unto eternity. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, as we enjoy now some time in his word. There are outlines on the back table by the offering plate. If you'd like to fill in some blanks and take some notes, please feel free. They're always there every Sunday, so please feel free to do that. We're continuing in this theme for us this Lenten season, around the theme Amazing Grace, but particularly in the hymn of John Newton that brings us an expression of God's, the Lord God's amazing grace to us as a reflection of his life, which of course we see our lives reflected there also with this man, John Newton. For 250 years, this hymn has been an expression for us of the Lord's amazing grace that John drank from, as he was known as a man who was thirsty for the Lord God's goodness, forgiveness, mercy, grace, like you and me. And he penned this hymn. You might say that, as we talk about with the young disciples today, Amazing Grace, this hymn, puts into an expression the quenching of our thirst, like chocolate milk is for a thirsty body. Amazing Grace is chocolate milk for the soul. Let's put it that way, right? It quenches, it satisfies. But this hymn is time bound. It's here on earth. What quenches is the Lord God's amazing grace. And there's a woman in Samaria who discovers that today as God's grace is poured out on her. Let's go there to the word of the Lord in John chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Everyone who drinks this water, Jesus says, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let's focus on those two verses today as the Lord comes to us in his word and speaks to us about his amazing grace like water, like living water, and what that living water does in us and through us then as well. This woman had been going to this well in Samaria for years. It was her hometown, and that's where she would draw water for her daily needs, cooking, cleaning, doing the dishes, drinking, taking care of the animals, etc., doing her laundry. And this is where the community would come and get water from her town of Sychar. And so these people would be drawing water from this well now for centuries. Their ancestor Jacob and his sons had dug this well to care for their livestock. And now a town had sprung up named Sychar in this area. And this is where people would gather. It's odd that she would come at noon in the heat of the day. Most of the time you'd go to the well early in the morning. And if you needed to, as in evening, as the sun was setting, when it wasn't so hot. Because it was hard work to take your bucket, let it go down, however deep it was, and then draw that full bucket back up, and then march back home. And by the way, in that day, in that culture, ladies, this was your job. You were the water carriers. You were the water getters for the family. So you'd want to go and gather your water as much as you needed for the day or the night when it was cool. But here she is in the heat of the day. Why? Well, that little note that John gives to us, talking about Jesus meeting her at noon, gives us a little insight into what this well was for the town of Sychar. It was a place, first of all, where, of course, the obvious, where thirst would be quenched. People, animals, travelers, like Jesus. It was a place to quench your thirst. But it also was the local gathering place, right? So women, particularly, would gather at the well, but men would use it as well as they needed to, as a gathering place. Early in the morning, late in the evening, they would gather there, and they would gather as friends and maybe family members too. They would gather there as a community around this place called Jacob's Well. It was also the local newsstand. It was where news was exchanged. Maybe gossip is a better word. it was a local watering fountain in the office, so to speak, where news was exchanged, tidbits were exchanged, gossip was exchanged. Okay, but it was where people shared what they knew. It was also a security post. Because, like this woman, she knew immediately Jesus wasn't from Sychar. Who are you? You're a stranger. We've never seen you at this well before. And so it was a place where people could find protection in the ability to spread the news that a stranger was in town or something or somebody hostile was around at the well. And they could spread that news to protect. What this woman had found in her life, which is why she's there at noon in the heat of the day rather than when everybody else is that this place as a gathering place, a newsstand, as a security post, what she'd found out about that is that it was a place where she knew prejudice and division and hostility. She can't go to the well in the cool of the day. She's not welcomed. She's talked about. She's pushed aside from her community because of her life, her lifestyle, the choices that she's made. And now she's ostracized. And this is all she knows. So now she's there at the heat of the day. And she meets Jesus. Jesus is there on the edge of the well, sitting there. His disciples had gone into town to Sychar to buy some food. And Jesus meets her and says to her, "Everyone who drinks this water, what you're here for, dipping your pail down into the bucket, down into the well, you're going to be thirsty again." This woman is thirsty. Not just for the water at the bottom of the well. She's thirsty inside, in her soul, in her being. Jesus gives to us in this account with this woman at the well an insight into our spiritual need. Not talking just about this water in a well issue, Gatorade, chocolate milk. No, it's deeper than that. It's about our needs inside of us. It's about our standing with the Lord God Almighty and who we are as people who have made choices, who are dealing with the consequences of those choices, people who we ourselves have treated others like this woman has been treated, filled with prejudice and division and hostility. This well gives us insights deep into our spiritual needs and longings, of which the Lord God already sees as he speaks to us. Because I'm like a heap of dry bones, actually, before the Lord. Remember that, what Ezekiel would talk about? The valley of dry bones? Yeah. And he would see this valley of dry bones, and it was only the Lord God who could bring these bones back to life. That's the only one who can bring any kind of sense of life to me and you in this heap of dry bones. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty. Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm here living through the heat of the day now, Lord. And I'm trying to find satisfaction to my thirst. And most of the time, I try to find satisfaction for my thirst anywhere but you. And all I find is that I'm thirsty. Jesus would say, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." Well, now Jesus is getting to the point of this meeting with the woman and the meeting that he has with you and me in life today, each day. He finds us in the heat of our day, and he converses with us in a conversation of grace. Maybe it doesn't have the same flow as that tune, "Amazing Grace," but it's the same concept there. I've got something for you that will quench your thirst. I'm not talking about your tongue or your throat, but what's deep down in this heap of dry bones that you call a life. "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst, because my water is of my grace, an amazing grace that forgives your prejudices. I know you've got them. I know you deal with them. I know you've treated others in this way. I forgive you. Drink from me, that this prejudice might not be a part of your life then anymore. Drink from me in my grace, deep down in that well of your soul, to be filled up with my amazing grace that welcomes you into my kingdom. Jesus' grace, found not in the well of Jacob's well, but found in the depths of his gracious love for us, brings unity from the division that I've caused with my Father and with one another. Jesus' grace forgives that and brings back together what I've broken in my sinfulness. He does that for you, friends. It may not happen immediately. Sometimes it does. But it takes time. It takes patience. It takes a practice of grace that we know in Jesus, now flowing from our lives over and over and over again. Liken it to a bucket that's drawn down into a well every day to satisfy human thirst. Grace that satisfies is given over and over again, drawn from that well into others' lives for that unity of Jesus. Jesus' grace puts an end to the hostility that I bear in my heart. Only His grace will satisfy that thirst where I have division and hostility in my heart. This is amazing grace. This is the amazing way that our Heavenly Father chooses to work through His Son Jesus in your life and mine, as He did with that woman at the well, Jacob's well, the woman from Sychar. Indeed, Jesus says, "The water I give you, anyone who drinks of me, will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's amazing. That drinking from Jesus, His grace, known by faith, His goodness and forgiveness, His mercy and compassion, His new life lived as He's given Himself on the cross, now given to you that you would drink from, will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that's what He's doing in you and me, friends. That's the opportunity of life and living now in its fullness, having our thirst satisfied in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not the thirst of our tongues and throat, but of our soul, the depths of our being in Jesus Christ. To be a spring, as Jesus talks about, is to be a gathering place, right? He uses you and me as a gathering place. We hear in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. We have that assurance. So that living water of the Spirit now living in me gives you the opportunity to be a gathering place of God's goodness and grace that others might know in you. One of those ways that we do that as God's people is by putting our faith, that grace, into action, by caring for other people as they have need. Today, as we welcome those local mission opportunities among us, of which we're partnered with, is an expression of this well springing up from us, a gathering place where we're partnered with these ministries that people come to know they're loved and cared for, even in satisfying their thirst. Mouth, throat, needs, so that they might draw from the deeper well of Jesus' grace through us, through these ministries and our partnership with them. What a blessing that is. What a joy that is to be able to be partnered with somebody, an entity, that they're doing in the kingdom, for work in the kingdom that I can't do on my own, but we can together as God's people partner with them to be a gathering place of living water. To be welling up, Jesus talks about, is like that idea of a newsstand. We've got something to say. And what we've got something to say and talk about is like that's this living water welling up from us. We can't help but speak about who we know in Jesus. Leaving her water jar, we're told later on in John chapter 4, the woman went back to the town. She went back to Sychar, where she knows prejudice and hostility and division. She went back there, and many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because she had something to say. She was the living newsstand of God's grace, even among those people who had treated her this way. So do you and me. We've had an opportunity to deal with that with people in our lives where maybe we are the victims of prejudice or division or hostility. We've got something to say. forgive you. You are loved in the grace of Jesus Christ, and I love you too in him. And let's start anew. Like a spring welling up to eternal life, like a security post where we know where our lives are found, safe and secure in the grace of our Savior. Again, going back to Romans chapter 8, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. We have a place that we're going. And John gives us a picture of that in his revelation. No more tears, no more fear, no more crying, no more death, no more thirst, no more hunger. Nothing but being in the presence of the living God and to know his grace fully, where we will have no need anymore in life because of who we are in him. His people, sons and daughters, people whose thirst has been quenched. Amazing grace. Like chocolate milk for the soul. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being with Jesus beside that well in Sychar today. Jacob's well. And not just to be focused on what that well contained, water, but what that well directs us to, who it directs us to. The source of living water. The source of hope and life, the source of grace that we long for, and now that we are filled with again. So, Heavenly Father, as you have refreshed us and renewed us, so send us now, like a spring welling up to eternal life. Father, we are your people, filled with grace, to go into the world to continue to live as you've called us, as your sons and daughters. To you be the praise and the glory as our lives give you thanks. In Jesus, our living water, in your amazing grace. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts, our minds, all of who we are, content that our thirst has been quenched in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory as we live in him. Amen.